Well, Mr. Cronkite, one of the...
Wait a minute, I think I just... No, it's wrong. Okay.
One of the questions that came up in the course of the discussion was whether part of the transition problem is created by the role of television and the media. One specific question that was mentioned was, when a new administration comes in, does it get stampeded by the need to put forward ideas, new policies, new views on the 6 o'clock news? Is that a driving force?
Well, I think that there's no question that the people in the administration are going to be pressured by the media to announce decisions, to tell what policy will ensue in various major points. But my feeling about that always is that's entirely controllable by the incoming administration. They don't have to be panicked. They don't have to talk to the press in this particular regard. It seems to me that there's always going to be the effort by the press to find out what intentions are. Naturally, the public is exceedingly interested in that. But if the administration is not ready to announce its intentions, I don't see any reason why it should. I don't think it's got an obligation to do so any earlier than it is ready to. I think it's got an obligation to when it comes to policy. It definitely should be sharing that policy with the people who elected it and to whom it's responsible. But until it's ready, no. And I don't believe that anybody would put undue pressure on administration to that extent. The pressure will be perceived by those who are taking over, particularly if they're all new to the job. They're going to feel a lot of pressure. But I think what is to be advised here is that they get good public relations counsel, and that includes newspaper people who may be friendly or at least would be helpful in a sense of pro bono help to their government in giving them advice that they don't have to speak up till they're ready.
You don't think that the credibility of an administration, which has said quite a bit during a campaign, depends upon it keeping up its statements and momentum?
No, I do not think so. I think the public is likely to be more respectful, seems to me, the thoughtful public at any part of the public at any rate will be respectful of the fact that they are husbanding their announcements until they have something to say. I see it as a pressure point, all right. I'm not trying to underplay the problem. There is a problem, but I think the solution is not with the press or with any formal arrangement with the press. It's got to be within the administration itself, and simply playing it cool and in a fair and studied manner.
Do you think that the media pushes a new administration in the direction of short-term solutions to problems rather than sitting back and thinking twice? Mr. Vance mentioned, for instance, that he thought that President Carter's press conference before he went to Moscow was a big mistake, mm-hmm. but President Carter felt he had to hold that press conference, evidently.
Well, this really is not a transition problem as much as it's a continuing problem of a president's concept of his role and his responsibility to the public in such matters. I've always felt that this is a matter that is totally in control of the president. If his concept is one that I will announce things when I'm good and ready, I certainly acknowledge the public's right to know. I would hope that every president believes in that and believes that that decision-making process should be shared with the public as much as it possibly can. But with the perfect knowledge that it is no good to put planning papers out in front of the public until you've come to some kind of a policy decision. And this is within the control of the administration. I would be very reluctant to suggest that there could be any prearrangement that would suggest that the press withhold its inquiries until some given moment to be established. How I wouldn't know. I couldn't even begin with that thought because it's wrong. The press will have an interest, should have an interest, should press, want to be alert to what the planning processes are and what's going on behind the closed doors. These are things that the press will believe that the public should share, and it's going to be the administration's responsibility to say that we appreciate your need to know. We acknowledge this completely. We can give you this maybe kind of rough idea of where the thinking's going, but we cannot tell you what our plans are until they're finalized. It's a delicate and a gray area, there's no question about it, but I just so strongly believe that this is a matter in the hands of the administration itself. I'm assuming in saying this that there is no administration that is going to keep its decisions secret other than those that are just absolutely at the core of national security. I believe in open government, open covenants, as openly arrived at as possible. And obviously there will be people who come into the office who do not believe that. I would hope that if they did not, that the press would not let them up and would keep after them for opening up the processes for public scrutiny. But when it comes down to those final decisions, it rests with the administration, really, on how it is released. And panicking would be an indication to me that it wasn't a very efficient administration in the first place.
One of the problems the commission faces is just what ought it to say specifically on the transition when it comes to the role of the media. Ought it to ask questions? Ought it to call for any kind of self-limiting, self-restraining order on the part either of the media or the administration? Ought it to cite any case studies? I think the commission is a little bit inclined to think there is perhaps more of a problem than your statement just indicated it was. For instance, one of the things they've talked about was the skill with which the Kennedy administration launched its new appointees, sidewalk interviews at Georgetown and places like that. Mm-hmm. And is that the key question? Should an administration making the transition handle the skill problem, or is there something much more fundamental that where the interests of an incoming administration and continuity and effectiveness come together with the media's interests?
Well, I go back to the other answer. I think this is something the media itself cannot control, and it's a matter of how the administration, incoming administration, can handle it and control it. This gets into the whole matter of sort of efficiency in a public relations sense of an incoming administration. And I think they're going to be just as different as administrations are different. Some will be highly skilled and some will be far less skilled and perhaps even bumbling. We see in the present administration an incomparable public relations organization. We've seen in others organizations that are far less skilled at this. I would think that I get into fundamentals on this always. I mean, it's because the administration I would like to see coming into office is an administration that understands completely the need for openness in government, candor in government, and once having accepted that basic philosophy, then putting together the team of people who can say and have access to the policymakers themselves to the degree that they can say, all right, now is the time to release this set of information because the information has been now rounded to a point where it is definite policy and we are going to go ahead along this path, rather than let things leak in a way that creates an excitement and expectations that are not going to be realized. This gets back into the control of the administration and what kind of administration it is, really. If you've got people coming into office who are disorganized, who have not given thought to how the government is going to be organized in this transitional period even, who are out desperately now trying to put together a team and have not given proper thought to that, and this team or these members of the team are going to come in with the idea that now they've got a chance to stake out their own little empire, their own prerogatives, and there's going to be backbiting and chiseling and all of the other black arts in an effort to achieve a dominant position within the organization. There are going to be leaks, and there are going to be all the rest of the problems, and there's no organization in the world is going to keep that sane and secure. The press is going to feel that and know it, and they're going to exploit it. They're going to find the leaks, and it's going to destroy an orderly transition and destroy the confidence of the people in that new administration. If the new people come in and have a plan, have a concept, know what they're about, come in with skill and knowledge, I don't see that the problem's going to rise to that great degree. I don't think this is something... I'm not sure it's something a manual can be written on. Maybe it can. Maybe with all the work that this commission has done, and with the past attention that's been given to the matter, you could sit down and put together a public relations manual.
Should there be any media briefings? One of the things this group has talked about is the need for briefings on the rules of Washington, how to avoid appearances of conflict of interest and all the rest. Is there any kind of briefing people ought to have coming into high position in government about the way the media operates and the very things you said in your introduction?
Oh, yes. I think that would be very helpful. I do think it would be very helpful. The Public Relations Council should be on board at the beginning. I would think that that's not the hardest thing to do in winning an election. Certainly, it must have had a pretty good organization there. I would think that in most cases that organization is going to be reasonably skilled in Washington. Of course, you get the exceptional case of, for instance, the Carter situation, where here you had an administration that was coming in with already an anti-Washington bias that was indeed a major part of the campaign, and therefore a lot of the counsel was not Washington-based. This, I think, was a mistake of the administration. And I would think that any kind of advice to an incoming administration would be to be sure that your people who you're going to be advising you know what they're talking about, know how Washington does operate, how the press operates, and relationships with the press and sources. And providing that in briefing to everybody who is going to be involved, the new appointees, particularly on the cabinet level, would of course be terribly valuable.
Is there anything that affects the media in regard to the access members of a large transition team will have to the media? One of the things the commission is going to recommend is that these large transition teams, more than 70 people on foreign policy alone for the Reagan administration under Dick Allen, ought to be eliminated. Probably will have little or no effect, but these people travel around the world, speak for the president in many places, leave impressions of commitments that certainly incoming secretaries haven't made. Secretary Haig has complained about some of these things.
I think there again, that's purely a problem of leadership. Obviously you can put in a manual that it's not advisable for these people to speak out on matters that have not been settled and solved as a matter of policy. They spent a long time disciplining Foreign Service officers through their entire education and learning that lesson. That's a very difficult one to learn. That is tough in foreign policy anywhere. And you're getting a brand new bunch of people and trying to impose that kind of an understanding upon them. This is going to be tough, but it really is a leadership problem again. Administration, if they're smart and keep the people who are really current with what the thinking is, limited, as your commission is going to suggest, which I would certainly think is a good idea, you're limiting the problem considerably as soon as you do that. And then the briefing is going to help, and then the discipline is going to be much easier to maintain. But it's again selection of personnel and leadership as to whether those people are going to understand the problem and be loyal to the extent of not talking.
So the commission also is going to recommend that until the secretary, particularly Secretary of State, is appointed, why there ought not to be a group that speaks for the president.
Absolutely. I would think that certainly that should be so. Yeah. Of course, I'm one of those who thinks that we've gotten in serious problem with our entire foreign policy, with the growth of the foreign policy advisor to the president in the White House. That dichotomy can't be permitted to continue, it seems to me. These things have to be returned to the Secretary of State's office. And if you do that, the administration's got that intention, it's going to make it a little bit easier in the transition, I would think. People can't be jockeying as to whether they're going to be in the Secretary of State's office or in the Security Advisor's office in the White House or something of that kind. That would help. But
do you think
certainly that... I, I go back to my original thing. It's a matter of the policy. If you set the right policies, it makes it easier to deal with the press.
This commission started with the the view that the delay in appointments, which is part of the problem, as you know, wait until May before a lot of the key positions are filled, that largely was due to FBI clearances. And another group, the National Academy of Public Administration, had been on the point of recommending that they eliminate FBI clearances. But we've had sessions with Mr. Webster, and we've looked at some of the statistics, and it now appears that the delay comes in the White House, that FBI clearances for cabinet and assistant secretary level appointments take 15 days, and some even say it's a little quicker than it should be. But the delay seems to come in the White House, and therefore the question is there anything involving the media at that level? Is there any plausibility at all in the argument that the White House has gotten gun-shy on appointments where somebody has been appointed or even nominated, and then it's been discovered that there's a black mark on his record? And so, and in an earlier pre-television day, it would have gotten out, but it wouldn't have gotten out that evening.
And no, I don't think there's much you can do about that. I think that's part of the continuing problem today of the speed of communications, the intensity of our interest in Washington affairs, which was not there for a long time until it's been growing as Washington's power and influence in the world grow, and as it's as indeed its dominance over so much of our American life grows. That accounts for the great growth of the Washington Press Corps and the heavy attention being given to all the decisions of government. I don't think you can do a darn thing about that. I don't think you should. That's the press should be vigilant on these things. I think should be probing. It's up to the administration to make the right decisions and not get itself in a position like that. I think that we do have, unfortunately, we're putting a heavy burden of morality on overlaying all of government today that is a little unfair. I think that some of these things are snatched out of complete inconsequence and made matters of national import that shouldn't be. But that's kind of a basic press problem, press government problem, and not a transition problem, I don't think. I don't think anything that the transition commission should really be terribly concerned about. I mean, I don't know what it can do about it unless it's going to go off in another direction on the entire matter of government press relations.
One question that the commission has talked a good deal about is when the transition begins and who ought to do what in the early stages. Again, it's, I suppose, questionable whether one can say the media has a direct influence, but there's a consensus on the commission that it would be political suicide to name anybody or even let the word get out that you were considering people for the top positions during the campaign or after the convention. And part of the onus for that is by some thrown on the media, that the word would get out, it would be on 6 o'clock news, everybody would know and talk about it. Again, I suppose you would argue this is something that a campaigning group had to think out for itself.
I do, entirely. I do entirely. I think I see a practical politics of the impossibility of naming their cabinet before the election. But on the other hand, it seems to me that that tradition ought to be broken down in American politics. It would solve a lot of these transition problems if people, for heaven's sakes, had campaigned on the basis that this is my new Secretary of State and here's our foreign policy. Give people a chance to vote on this matter instead of have it revealed to them sometime after the election. That's 9/10 of this problem that you're talking about, 99% of the problem you're talking about here. The press, of course, is very anxious to find out now that you're elected, what do you really think? What really is the plan for the American foreign policy? We haven't heard it during this campaign. This is not just cynical, it's unfortunately a truth in American politics. By the same token, it's a truth that that you're not going to get a cabinet named in advance because the promises are being made to so many people to whom you need support, well, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think that's a press problem. I really don't believe it. It's a transition problem, and it's a problem for the incoming team. But I would think that the way you avoid that is a little more thought in advance. It seems to me that that what a person campaigning for the presidency of the United States should be doing in a political party that has nominated that man to be the incoming or the possible president of the United States is to have a transition team appointed the week after the convention. The transition team should start working then, and so that after November whatever, the announcements can come in fairly short order. You end the speculation quickly. The chance for speculation to build is diminished considerably by the time frame that in which you announce it. If you could get that announcement made early on, you solve a lot of problems. Then indeed, your foreign policy spokesman is your Secretary of State designate. Then you move into all the other problems, of course, that you've dealt with, that you just mentioned. What he should he be doing compared to the administration, which still has for 3 more months the problem of running the country, running their foreign policy. That long transition period is obviously part of the problem.
Let me ask a question in a pointed way that I would be appropriate if somebody other than you were sitting here, because you fought for this kind of thing all your life. One thing that strikes anybody sitting in these meetings is the enormous gulf between what the public thinks is happening in with the help of the media and what actually is happening. For instance, when Cy Vance was appointed, he cut a deal, as he put it, with the president, that they each would have a veto on suggested appointments. In other words, the secretary would play a role. There was an arrangement made between Vance and Kissinger. They talked about a particular problem, and Kissinger said, "Do you want us to deal with this problem, I think Pakistan arms, before you come in?" And Vance said, "No, let's take it up ourselves." There are a whole host of another more dramatic, maybe more meaningful example would be that John Steelman stayed on for 3 months in the Eisenhower administration. Andy Goodpaster stayed on for a period of months in the Kennedy administration, kind of a bridge between the administration. A lot is happening in the foreign policy process that even the scholars don't know about, let alone the average citizen. Mr. Jefferson had great hopes that with education and communication we would find the truth, but isn't the media falling a little bit short in not trying to get at this kind of problem, or is it totally impossible for these nuances?
No, I would agree with you right away that the media is falling short. I worry about the media falling short in all matters of major importance and and complicated decision-making process in the country. I say media. I really am pointing my finger more at television and also some of the kind of less serious press. I think the Times does a pretty good job of this. The Post does a pretty good job of this. Los Angeles Times has done a pretty good job of it, and some others. Some of the Washington bureaus. But in general, since most of the people are getting most of their news from television now, they're not getting a picture of what really happens. Everything is in headlines. Everything is digested and encapsulated in such a fashion that the public really doesn't get behind the scenes. And I'm not talking about secrets being revealed, but just the decision-making process being examined. That is definitely a media problem, but I think it could be probably assisted by a really good, strong public relations counsel who could sit with the press and would spend some time with the press lunch with them and talk with them and tell them more, perhaps, about what was going on, not be fearful of letting them in on some of the problems that are taking place. This is a public relations problem indeed. But there again, it depends almost entirely on the mindset of the incoming administration leader, the leader himself. If he is a person who is conscious of this and can sit with the public relations council and say, I want the very best, sit with them and say, no, I want the people to know, I want you to tell them, we're going to be as open as we possibly can on these matters. I think if something comes out that we are planning something, it should be made perfectly clear what the stage of the planning is. I wouldn't mind one bit saying who recommends it and how my staff is falling on it, who is for it and who is against it. Let's open up that process. That's how things are done. Why not let the public know that's how things are done? If Mr. A is for it here and B is against it, let's let them put that argument forward. I don't see anything wrong with that. The more you let people know that, what's happening, the less confusing these reports are going to be to foreign governments and to our friends and allies alike and to the American people. You can hide an awful lot with a babble of voices. it leaks out. When the leak comes, then everyone begins to be suspicious of what's going on in the councils of government and the discussion. If you admit it, what's going on, and say we've got a dialogue going. I would suspect that the main reason that this hasn't been done in the past is, quite honestly, and I say this very candidly, that leaders, whether they're in government or business or labor or anywhere else, don't want a lot of input. It just is bothersome. You don't have a staff to handle it. You don't want to listen to all of it. You think you know enough about it now to have the internal dialogue and make a decision. You don't want a lot of additional confusion. And not being able to handle that, people say, let's cut it all off and let's keep it secret until we make a decision. If they're more candid about it, it seems to me it would be far more effective.
As you know, it extends actually beyond the lifetime of an administration. What has shocked this commission, even experienced people, is that the outgoing president strips his office of every scrap of paper, and it either goes to the National Archives or personal papers with him, And only if the president, incoming president, knows what he's looking for can he get a paper from the National Archives.
Yeah.
So it's like running a university or a corporation without a scrap of paper of what has gone before.
It's shocking. Shocking.
Is there any other thing that ought to be said about the role of the media in relationship to transitions that you think?
Well, no, summarizing what we've been talking about here, and I know I've been rather long-winded on some of these things.
Very helpful.
But the summarizing, I think, first of all, it's a matter of the philosophy of the candidate and his immediate advisors themselves. And it really gets back to the candidate and the incoming president, whether he intends to have a open administration or a closed one as far as the public is concerned. If he, on the basis of that, he is going to select his public relations counsel, or he's going to virtually select none, in effect. He's going to select a stonewaller if he believes in a closed administration. I want somebody who'll be tough with the press and keep him out of my hair. Or he's going to select a public relations counsel, says, as Kennedy said to Ed Murrow in putting him with the USIA, I want you to sit in on the decision-making process and advise us from that angle as to how things are going to be accepted by the public before we ever make our decisions. This is important. It didn't work, which to Ed's great disappointment, but that's the opposite end of the stonewalling. And I suppose most administrations are going to fall somewhere between those two extremes. It will matter as to philosophy as to what kind of public relations counsel he gets, but he should have that counsel on board as early as possible. A counsel other than that which is required to be elected, just as he needs advisors other than those who help in a campaign to actually run the government. I would think that my other recommendation would be that the transition team start after the convention as early as possible after the convention, immediately after the convention, and that the public relations council be attached to that team from the beginning, so that a lot of these decisions would have been made in a fashion that they can be orderly, in an orderly fashion, released after the election in the transition period. I believe that in the sum total of everything I've said, that the entire problem rests with the administration itself and how smoothly it handles the transition regarding the public perception of it. That perception will be based on how efficiently it's done. The media works in this country to the degree that it is going to reflect what is happening. If there is confusion, if there is rivalry, if there is uncertainty, that's going to be reflected. And there's nothing in the world that a manual or a handbook or briefings are going to do to prevent that from being known to the public. And I hope it continues to work that way, because I think that's important that the public know.
Well, this is wonderfully helpful. You've been so generous. Okay. And certainly appreciate
I hope
that.
It's a little helpful.
Yeah, it surely has. I need my glasses to see the one I turn off.